come to a point in our life where we stop and look back and see the hand of God in so many ways. Like there are many times that we are maybe walking through things or we're going through a season in our life and we don't know what the next step is or maybe don't even see what God is doing. But I think there's, if we pause and ponder long enough, there are times when we stop and we look back and we say, ah, okay, that's what you were doing. That's what you were orchestrating. That's why there was a pause. That's why there was a turn or a bend in the road. That's why you put this into place. Because we find out that the scripture tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And that God orders our steps. And so often, even I think when we think that we are making a plan or we're making a direction, we find out it's really the hand of God that is moving us about like a pawn in a chess game, I think, sometimes. And that God strategically puts us in places in our life, in times and in seasons, that God orchestrates and put things in place, not necessarily for this day, but maybe for another day. And we find out that the hand of God was at work in our life even before we knew we needed it. Can anybody say amen to that? That we can look back in times and say, God, I don't know, I didn't know why you did that then, but now I see what you were preparing. I see what you were organizing. I see what you were orchestrating. Hindsight is 20/20. Walking by faith, it's not as easy as looking back and say, oh, now I get it. But how many know in those times where you need to walk by faith, one step at a time, and trust God to get you where you are going and to direct your steps, living by faith? I want to start talking a little bit, a sermon series on the Christmas season that is coming up, the time of celebration of the birth of our Savior. It's not just a Christmas message. It's a message that we know and love all year, that it's not just the birth, but it's the story, the greatest story ever told. There are so many facets and so many things that are a part of the Christmas story that I don't like to save it for one Sunday because there's just no way to teach it all in one Sunday. And some of my most favorite scriptures probably are in the Christmas story. Some of the encounters, the people that are in there, I just find it fascinating. I always find it fascinating that God takes the unsuspecting, ordinary people and he does extraordinary things in their lives. Anybody in here feel ordinary this morning? None of you, just me. I'm the only ordinary person in here. But God takes just people just like you and me. And we sometimes read about the great hall of faith. You know, Hebrews 11 is full of great matriarchs and patriarchs of the Bible and the great hall of faith. And we open that Hebrews 11 to read about all of them. And it's almost like we hear, oh, you know, heaven singing because, you know, they glow in the dark and they all wear halos. But what you find out in the book of Hebrews 11 is they're just ordinary, scared people who just dared to believe God. Hallelujah. Are there anybody in here that just dares to believe God for the next step of your journey or for where you've come from or where you're going? And so when we begin to look at the Christmas story, it doesn't begin in the New Testament, and it begins way back 700 years ago, 700 years before even the coming of the angel Gabriel. So the title of my message this morning is called, It's Time. It's time for something big to happen. How many are ready for it to be time for something big to happen? And so what I want to pronounce and declare over this house this morning is it's time. It's time to see the fulfillment of those things that have been promised. And it's time for God to do the miraculous in your life. Are you ready for that? Because I believe we've got to declare it and stand up. And, you know, it's one thing to have a dream, but you also got to have a plan. It's more than just what you put in your head. It's what you put your feet to. It's the, you know, the dream is not just the vision of what you want to see, but it's the boots on the ground and making it happen. And so I think there's some things that we've been promised. I think there's some things that the word promises. I think there's some things that we've been praying about, looking for. Many of you that I know in your life and in, you know, this year and things like that, that we're ready for God to do the miraculous. How many believe God still does the miraculous? See, it wasn't just a story we read about for Mary or just a story we read about for Joseph or Zechariah or Elizabeth. But when God says it's time, it's time. And so I'm ready for the timing of God, for him to orchestrate things. And when I was talking earlier about how many of those times that seem like the promise is delayed and you say, God, how long? And we say, God, how long? Let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 7:14. As I said, that the Christmas story does not start in Matthew and Luke. Actually, those are the two books that tell us the Christmas story. Two different versions of the Christmas story. Matthew tells us the story of Joseph's side, tells us the story of the wise men who come. Luke tells us more the story. It's the more the noble, Matthew's more the noble, the majestic side, the kings who come to visit, and the gifts that they bring. Luke is the more humble side. It's Mary's, more of Mary's side. It's more the lowly babe in a manger that comes. And so we see kind of two different stories of that. But way before Matthew ever happens, way before Luke ever happens, Isaiah has a prophecy. And Isaiah begins to prophesy 700 years before it comes to pass. Now, 700 years is a long time to wait on God to move. Somebody say amen. And in our day, if someone was to prophesy it and it didn't come to pass, we'd say, well, they were a false prophet. How many believe Isaiah was probably called a false prophet a time or two in his day? Because he began to prophesy some crazy stuff. He began to declare some crazy stuff from heaven. He began to say some things that just did not make sense. How many know there's sometimes that God does things that it just doesn't make sense? But hang on, because it's time. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So he begins to prophesy. First of all, behold, a virgin is going to conceive and bear a child, bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, before that, he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Somebody say, here's your sign. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Can I tell you this morning that God's desire has always been to be an Emmanuel God, a God with us, a God in us, a God with us, a God through us, a very present God, a very present help in the time of trouble, a God who is with you. He is for you. He's not against you. I mean, know this morning that God is for you and not against you. You may have spent most of your life thinking God was against you or out to get you or mad at you most of your life. But I just want to tell you this morning, God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. He loved you enough to send his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world, what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, sometimes he's saving us from ourselves. Because sometimes our biggest destruction is ourselves. But he said, the Lord's going to give you a sign. And then in Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, for to us a child shall be born, and unto us a son shall be given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from the time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isaiah begins to prophesy again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The good news is here it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. How many are thankful that God is in charge of the government? That should have been a rousing amen. How many are thankful that God is in charge of the government? That the government, I mean, no, he's the ultimate voice, the ultimate authority. We answer to him, not the other way around. That the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I did a series Christmas or so ago on each one of these names. Wonderful Counselor, he's the Mighty God, he's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. Those are all wonderful things, all wonderful names of the Father of who Jesus is. And so he begins to prophesy. It's over, and I believe Isaiah 40 then, he begins to prophesy, comfort ye, my people. Say to them that their warfare is accomplished. And now, if you know anything, and I've shared this before, if you know anything about Handel's Messiah starts with Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people. And he begins to prophesy out of the book of Isaiah that, behold, a comforter will come. And Emmanuel, God, will come. And he prophesied that. But how many know the prophecy did not come to pass for many years from the time it was prophesied? And the last book of the Bible, in the book of Malachi, we see that there's a prophetic word about what will come to pass. And then there's 400 years of silence where there's no prophetic word that comes to pass. God's not really saying anything prophetically through the prophets that we have record of. But then we come to the season when he begins to speak again. In Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3, in the Amplified, it says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give as his spokesman. When I am reproved, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. King James says it like this: though the vision tarry, wait for it. I mean, waiting is the hardest part of that. The wait. What do we do in the waiting? In the waiting season, waiting for God to shift, waiting for God to speak, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to fulfill the promise that he's spoken or that he's declared. But in Galatians 4, 4 through 5, it says, but when in God's plan the proper time had come, had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the regulations of the law, so that he might redeem and liberate those who were under the law, that we who believe might be adopted as sons, as God's children, with all rights as fully grown members of the family. And because you really are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you no longer are a slave or a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through the gracious act of God through Christ Jesus. So Galatians begins to say, and when the fullness of time had come, somebody say, it's time. God, in his time and in his season, brings forth a son born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. How many know under the law, there was a curse? If you did wrong, you messed up. I mean, no, death was the sentence. But I mean, under the new covenant, we're not governed by the law of the Old Testament. We're governed by the perfect law of liberty, or we're governed by his love. And so he begins to speak and says, when the fullness of time has come, in the moment that God designed, in time, God sends forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, we know then that it's been prophesied out of Isaiah. We know that the prophecies have come forward, that all these things are going to happen. But after about 700 years, how many know you start to wonder? You start to question. And so when God began to put into motion those things that had been promised, those things that had been prophesied, how many know there were those who had read the scrolls, there were those who knew the scriptures, there were those who would stand up. Jesus himself stood up and read out of the book of Isaiah when he preached his very first sermon in the temple, and he began to prophesy and preach and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to bind up the broken liberty, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How many know Jesus himself quoted out of the book of Isaiah? And so he began to declare what was going to happen. So there were those who knew what was to come to pass. But what happens sometimes in our wait, in our wondering, we start to think maybe it's not going to happen. Anybody ever been there? Maybe it's not going to happen this time. And so God begins to speak, and he sends the angel Gabriel, and you guys know the story. He sends the angel Gabriel, and he sends him to the temple, and he sends him to a man named Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest who serves in the temple, and he goes into the temple to burn incense. And you had to draw straws, as it were. They cast lots, kind of like drawing straws, to find out who gets the once-in-a-lifetime chance to go in and burn incense in the temple. And Zechariah gets his moment. And so they have about a 2-week period where they would go into the temple and they would offer the incense and they would offer the prayers and the praise of the people unto God in hopes that God would fulfill his word and his promise to his people. And while he's there waiting, in the wait, in the time where we're waiting on God to say something, he's in there by himself. Because if you know anything about the temple, that the people were allowed to come into the outer court of the temple, but they weren't allowed to come into the holy place or the most holy place. The priests were allowed to come into the holy place and offer the showbread and the incense, but only the high priest could go into the most holy place where the presence of God was in the mercy seat and all of those things. And so while Zechariah stands in the temple, and he gets the once in a lifetime chance to offer incense unto God and the prayer and praise of his people, all of a sudden an angel shows up. Now, nobody's supposed to be in there but Zechariah, but all of a sudden there's somebody else in there, and it's an angel Gabriel has showed up. And he says to Zechariah, some of you need to hear this morning, I have heard your prayers. And your prayers have been answered. There's sometimes we stand and think, God, have you heard me? God, do you hear my prayers? Do you hear? Have you heard my prayer? Have you heard my heart? Let me just tell you something. God will heal your heart. Hear your heart just as ready as he will hear the words out of your mouth. And sometimes we say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. It's okay, because he knows your heart. He said, God has heard your prayers, and your prayers are about to be answered, Zechariah. Now, as I've said many times, I would have to stop and say, okay, which of my prayers have been answered? Because I don't know about you, but I pray every day. I started to say pretty much every day, but I pray every day. And I got a lot of prayers in. Anybody got any prayers in? Any prayers and petitions before God? Things that you've just been praying about, asking God about, seeking God for. If it's not for me, I got a whole lot of other people I'm praying for. God, we need a healing. God, we need grace. God, we need strength. God, we need jobs. We need this. And I would have to stop and say, which prayer? Don't really matter. If you heard it, I'll take it. Your prayers have been answered. Not just your prayers, but the prayers of the people. How many of the prayers of the people everywhere around us are crying out to God to see, God, we want to see you. We want to see a manifestation of who you are. We want to see a fulfillment of your promise in the earth right here, right now. And he begins to speak to Zechariah and say, God has heard your prayers. And he said, oh, and your wife Elizabeth, she's about to conceive and bear a son. And you're going to call that son John. And he's going to be a forerunner and prepare the way of the Messiah who's about to come. Now, after 700 years of not hearing anything, and God shows up, knocks on your door, and says, I'm about to do something outside of the supernatural, Zechariah. This is something that you could not do yourself. This is something that Miss Elizabeth could not do herself. I'm about to bring forth a child out of a barren womb, and not only am I going to bring forth a child out of a barren womb, but that womb is going to be a John the Baptist who's going to be prepared the way of the Lord. And Zechariah, probably like most of us in this room, said, how in the world? How can this be? And in case you didn't know it, Elizabeth is beyond her day. I mean, no, it's out of her season. She's past the moment. I'll say it like this. She's been in, went through menopause. She's old. The scripture says she's old and well stricken in years. That's old. And so it says she is beyond her moment. How can this thing be? And the scripture says that because Zechariah questioned and did not believe, the angel said, you will be unable to speak until the day that God brings to pass what he said that he would do. Now, it's been 700 years since Isaiah prophesied that we did not see this come to pass, and now we got 9 more months before Zechariah can talk about it. Let's talk about silent night, holy night. Holy Batman, right? Silent night, holy night. Lots of silent nights to ponder the promise of God and yet not see it come to pass. There are times in your life when God will begin to speak things to you that you will leave you speechless. There are times in your life that God will speak things to you that you cannot articulate to anybody else. And there are times in your life that God will speak things to you that you couldn't explain it if you tried. And there are also times in your life where God will close your mouth so you don't add anything to what he already put a period to. I mean, no, there's sometimes we want to add a comma and but what about this? And how many know when God puts a period at the end, you need to leave the period at the end. And there's sometimes that he will silence you so that you cannot talk yourself out of the promise of what God wants to bring to pass in your life. See, he could have went out and talked it over with everybody out there in the assembly, and they would have talked him out of the promise of what God had. Or he could have even tried to talk, you know, to some, you know, friends, neighbors, whatever, and say what God had done. But there's no way to explain to you what I just encountered in the presence of the Lord. See, there's some things that happen in the presence of the Lord that when you come together, you open your mind in worship and prayer and incense and offering of worship, that God does something inside of you that you can't explain it. You can't show it to somebody else, but you know that you've had an encounter with Jesus. And so while he's trying to ponder all of these things, I don't know if it's at the beginning of the 2 weeks or at the end of the 2 weeks, but I do know this, that 2 weeks was a very long time before he gets home to see Miss Elizabeth. And somehow he's got to articulate to her what God just shared with him, but he can't speak. Anybody ever heard actions speak louder than words? I mean, there's sometimes that I can't tell you what God's doing. I can only show you. I can only activate. I can only operate in what he's already said. We've had these girls up here doing sign language this morning, and I don't know what Zachariah did to tell Elizabeth. Maybe he didn't tell her. Maybe she's unsuspecting when it happens. Somehow or another, God's about to do something incredible. You know, and I've said before, maybe he goes home and just looks at her and says, and she says, crazy old man. Maybe she says, if only. If only it could be. I don't know how he says it, but I know he operates in it. So you got to have more than a dream. You got to have a plan. You got to put one foot in front of the other. And you got to activate the faith of the word that has been spoken over you. However, Miss Elizabeth conceives. And said, she said, shall I once again have pleasure in my old age? And she conceives, and you know the story, and she is with child. And the scripture says she hid herself for 5 months. I love this. As if 700 years hasn't been long enough, 2 weeks wasn't long enough, now she's hiding herself for 5 months. The Bible doesn't really tell us why she hides herself. It doesn't tell us where she goes, what she does, but here's my thing on it. And I'm just going to talk to you as a woman, because in that day, they didn't have a blood test. They didn't have an ultrasound. They didn't have a way of predicting like we do today that you've conceived. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if it hasn't been possible all your life, what makes you think it's going to happen now? So she hides herself, and all she has is a promise. Let me just tell you, sometimes all you've got's a promise. And the best thing you can do if you can't find anybody to be in agreement with what God's doing in you is hide yourself until he connects you with somebody who has the same faith to believe that you do. And the scripture says he hides herself for 5 months. But the angel makes another visit in about that 6 month. And the angel stops by the house of a young virgin named Mary and knocks on her door. And he walks in and says, hail thou who art highly favored. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women. Just a child, a teenager like these young ones sitting here today. That when Jesus stops and knocks on your door and said, you are blessed, you are highly favored, you are chosen, you are anointed, you are appointed, you are called, you are destined, you have purpose, you have ability, this is your day, this is your season, it is your moment. And he begins to prophesy over them and say to her, you are going to conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And she says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Can I just tell you what God wants to do in this day and in this season and in your life is not going to be done by man. It's going to be done by the supernatural. It's going to be done by the host of heaven that's standing at attention. See, I kind of like to vision Gabriel standing around the throne of God and God looking over at Gabriel and say, Gabriel, it's time. Gabriel, it's time. The fullness of time has come. Next stop, next destination, a young girl named Mary. And he stops and tells her all that's going to take place. And she says, just like we would, how can this be? How can God bring to pass what he said he would do? It seems like the impossible. And he says to her something, I think the key line in everything that he says to Mary, he quotes from the scriptures, he gives her, you know, Isaiah, all of that. But the key thing that I think he says to her is, and your cousin Elizabeth, she is with child also. What's that say to me this morning? You don't have to do this alone, sister. God has not left you by yourself, but he's building Mary's faith to say, if God can do it for Elizabeth, then he can do it for me. If God can do it for Arcee, then he can do it for Andy. If he can do it to Joy, he can do it for Trish. I'm telling you today, the power of our testimony that says, I've had a visitation from the Lord and God is speaking great things to me. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to find myself somebody to connect with, because if I can connect with somebody else who's hearing the same things that I'm hearing, then I can believe for my promise while I'm believing for theirs. And so she gets, the scripture says, she, what are you going to do when you find out that Elizabeth's going to have a baby too? Then you join to them, and scripture says she goes to the house of Elizabeth. And I don't know if she's coming up the driveway. I don't know if they hear the sound of the donkey's hooves. I don't know if she ran, she walked, or how she got there. But the scripture tells us at the sound of Mary's salutation, how she greeted Elizabeth, there was something inside of her, I believe, that was bubbling out, that when she come running up the road to Elizabeth's house, that Elizabeth comes out to greet her. And Elizabeth said, and at the sound of your salutation, Mary, you caused my baby to leap inside of me. And now I don't have to hide myself any longer, because if I ever doubted I was with child, now I know that I am, because something you said came alive inside of me, and now I know that God has fulfilled his promise. Let me tell you, your salutation and the things you speak to people around you will either speak life or death, but we need to be a dispenser of his glory so that when we come in contact with people, it causes the promise of God inside of you to come alive until you feel something move. The prophet Jeremiah said, it's just like fire shut up inside my bones. That at the sound of your salutation, Mary, you made something come alive inside of me. I felt my promise become empowered. I felt my baby leap. I felt life stir up inside of me again. How many know there are people all around you, everywhere, waiting on somebody to ignite or cause to come alive the promise of God inside of them? And sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's just a prayer. Sometimes it's just an activation to say, this is your time. This is your moment. Something needs to come alive inside of you. And now you can believe that God has fulfilled his promise. See, you might have talked me out of it up to my fifth month, but about my sixth month, once I felt the baby moved, there's no change in my mind that there's something happening inside of me. Hallelujah. And so when she's caught, the sound of her salutation causes her baby to leap. She said, who am I that the mother of my Lord would come to me? But here's what I love about this. The scripture says that Mary stayed. She stayed with Elizabeth. Number one, how's she going to go back and explain to anybody else what in the world is going on with her? Number two, she might have to face the wrath of Joseph or Joseph's family or the people of her community. Number three, she stays until she sees that baby born. Till she sees the fulfillment of that promise. Because if I can hold in my arms your baby, if I can hold in my arms, if I can see your promise, if I can see your miracle, if I can see those things come to pass, then maybe, just maybe, I can believe for my own. Hallelujah. The scripture said that Elizabeth gave birth to a child named John, and John's name means grace. I mean, what God wants to birth in this season is a season of grace, a season of preparation. How many know he's the one that said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I'm not he, but I come to bear witness of him. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. And when he stands with Jesus on the shore of the Jordan and they join hands, I believe there's something that leaps inside of them again, just like Mary and Elizabeth did, that when John and Jesus come together, there's something that so comes alive that the heavens open and a dove descends and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In the fullness of time, in God's time, in his season. And Mary stays and embraces the very thing that God promised. It sometimes seems impossible. It sometimes seems too far away. Sometimes it seems like we've tarried too long. You know, he said, in the fullness of time, in God's time. How many know when Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, we will go to Lazarus. And they said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, that's a good thing. He said, no, Lazarus is dead. But I stayed for your sakes, that the miracles of God could be manifest. And how many know when he gets to the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha came out to him and said, Lord, if you had just been here, where were you? My brother would not have died. Have you ever said that? Maybe not out loud. God, where are you in all of this? It's time. How many know it's not time until he says it's time? And the more we try to push his time, the more we mess things up. How many know the scripture says that Jesus steps up to the tomb 4 days after he's already dead. And he said, Lord, by now he stinks. And he's the only one that can be 4 days late and still be on time. And when he steps up the tomb, he says, Lazarus, come forth. In his time, in his season. I want to read the scripture out of Ecclesiastes 3 this morning, and I'm going to close with this one. In the fullness of time, in his time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11 says, there is a season, appointed time for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. What is planted? Time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there for the worker from that which in which he labors? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time or season. He has planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. And that we talk about that a lot. Of course, there's a song to everything, turn, right? A time for all those things. I mean, know when we think about it in the new covenant light and think about it in the reflection of what Jesus came to do, the purpose of Jesus coming, God sending his son, he said there was a time to be born and a time to die. I mean, know Jesus came to be born, but he didn't just come to be born. He came that he might die, that we might have life. It's time. There's a time to plant and the time to root up. How many of Jesus said, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree? And when he came along, there were some things that was planted under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, how many know God resurrected and planted some new things? He became the seed, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if he die, he brings forth much fruit. There's time to tear down, the time to build up. Jesus said, tear this temple down and I'll build it back again in 3 days. There was many things that he did under the old covenant that was done under the old covenant that Jesus did in his time, in the fullness of time. There was a time for mourning, but then there was a time of rejoicing in his resurrection. There was time to throw stones or time to gather stones. How many know under the law they threw stones? But under the new covenant, we gather stones. Oh, what we could build if we would quit throwing stones and would start gathering stones. That we could build, that we are lively stones, he said, fitly framed together, building up a holy habitation. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time for silence and a time to speak. How many know it was a silent time, a silent season, but then when God began to speak, there's a time for his voice and an encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to ponder on today is his time, his season. In the fullness of time, God. In the fullness of time, God. In his time and in his season, when he begins to activate and put things into operation, we realize that he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a season. And we are operating, if we trust through faith, that God, you know our beginnings from our endings. You know our thoughts. You know our hearts. And you know what's in our heart. And when God begins to step into the middle of that and he begins to open doors, he begins to fill your heart, then we know, oh, that is what we've been waiting for. Stand to your feet with me this morning. In his time, it's time. And I pronounce and declare this morning that there are things that we have prayed for, things that we have hoped for, things that have been prophesied for, things that we have held up before God, that it's time. It's time to see a fulfillment of those things to come to pass. If there's some things that you're praying for today, there's things that you desire, things that you are, you know, heavy on your heart, I just want you to lift your hands today and say, God, it's your time. It's your season. It's your moment. Hallelujah. And we trust him through faith to orchestrate every fiber of our being, every fiber of our life, our steps. They are ordered. Lord, we thank you today that you are moving and orchestrating on our behalf. Father, I thank you that there are those in this house that are praying for children. Lord, for their families that are crying out, God, saying it's time. Lord, that you will bring them from the north, south, east, and the west. And that you'll draw them into you, God. Draw them into your heart. Lord, I thank you that there are those in this house, Lord, that are waiting on miracles in their body of healing and restoration. And God, to that we say, it's time. It's time, Lord, to receive. We're ready to receive from your hand all things. Hallelujah. Father, make the womb of our heart ready to receive the bountiful grace that you want to birth through us in this season. Lord, let our salutation be one that activates your glory, that activates your promise in our life, God. Hallelujah. And causes our baby to leap with excitement of what you're about to birth in and through us, God. We honor you today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.